Hello children, once again Sindhu madam from ACS Kudamkulam. I am with the module 2, chapter 1, Chemical Reactions and Equations, class 10th chemistry. So we will continue with the types of reactions, and in this module we will be discussing combination reactions and decomposition reactions in detail. Children, already we have discussed about chemical reactions, which involves the breaking and making of bonds between atoms to produce new substances. The various types of chemical reactions are combination reaction, decomposition reaction, displacement reaction, double displacement reaction, redox reaction, and neutralization reaction. Let us begin with combination reaction. Combination. Children, when your mother bakes the cake, she adds some ingredients like egg, maida, or sugar, or milk, or cream, and she makes a single product cake out of it. The combination reaction is something like that. That is, where two or more elements or compounds, we call it as reactants, combine to form a single product. Here are some examples like simple combination reactions, C plus O2CO2, S plus O2SO2, or hydrogen and chlorine combines to form HCl. Then calcium oxide reacts with water to form calcium hydroxide, ammonia preparation by combining nitrogen and hydrogen. Magnesium oxide is formed by combination of magnesium and oxygen. So in all these reactions, we can see that the two reactants combine to form a single product. It can be more than two reactants also. So what are the characteristics of combination reactions? There is no specific number of reactants in combination reaction, and combination reactions usually exothermic, heat is released. So because when the bond forms between two reactants, the stronger force of attraction will be there and heat is released. And they combine to form a single product. You can see here magnesium oxide and carbon dioxide combines to form magnesium carbonate. Iron and sulfur, on heating, it forms iron sulfide. Barium combines with fluorine to form barium fluoride. Let us do an activity which is in your textbook. What we have done here, we take a small amount of calcium oxide, which is also known as quicklime, in a beaker. And we will add slowly the water to this beaker. What we observe, that reaction is so vigorous that bubbles starts coming out of it and large amount of heat is released. And when we touch the beaker, we see that temperature has increased. So what we can infer here, calcium oxide reacts vigorously with water to produce slaked lime, which is also known as calcium hydroxide, and large amount of heat is released. That means reaction is exothermic. Exothermic means heat is released. So this process is known as slaking of lime, because this calcium hydroxide's other name is slaked lime. So it's a combination reaction where quick lime, CaO, calcium oxide, combines with water to form calcium hydroxide. You can see in the picture here, person is adding water and he has seen that large amount of heat is released. Now let us see the chemistry of whitewashing. See, the slaked lime which is produced in this activity is used for whitewashing the walls. Calcium hydroxide, it reacts slowly with the carbon dioxide in the air to form a thin layer of calcium carbonate on the walls. Okay, so calcium carbonate is formed after 2 to 3 days of whitewashing and gives a fine, shiny finish to the walls. You can see that white powdery substance present on the walls. It is interesting to note that chemical formula of marble is also CaCO3. So you can see here reaction. CO2 is passed through calcium hydroxide and we get a milky substance, that is calcium carbonate, and water is released. Let us study something about exothermic reaction. We have seen that slaking of lime, the reaction is exothermic. Combustion of carbon or coke is exothermic. So as I said, exothermic reaction means heat is released. And in the form of light, in the form of heat. Okay, so we can say that reactant changes to product and energy is released. So in an exothermic reaction, energy is transferred to the surroundings, meaning the suppose we are doing a reaction in a beaker, the beaker is called a system where we are performing the experiment, and whatever outside is there, outside the beaker, that is called surrounding. So energy is transferred to the surrounding and that is called exothermic reaction. So if energy is taken from the surrounding by the system where we are doing the experiment, then it is endothermic reaction. So heat is absorbed in endothermic reaction, heat is released in exothermic reaction. So and we can measure the heat release in a chemical reaction by an instrument, by a device called calorimeter. You might have heard about it. It is extremely difficult to measure the absolute value of energy for a given chemical reaction because lot of other energies are involved when a chemical reaction takes place. Therefore, always we calculate the energy change in a reaction. What was the energy in the beginning of the reaction at the end, and then we calculate the difference. So change in energy is measured in a chemical reaction. You can see here some exothermic reactions. Combustion, as I said, combustion reactions are exothermic. Carbon is undergoing combustion here, that is burning of a substance in presence of oxygen, so CO2, and heat is released. Methane, natural gas, undergoes combustion and large amount of heat is released. You see breaking of food, that is the food we eat during digestion, food is broken down into simpler substances, and this process we can say respiration. So glucose breaking down into CO2 and water, and lot of energy is released. So this is exothermic reaction. Moving on to next reaction, that is decomposition reaction. Decomposition reaction is what? One single substance or reactant breaks into two or more products. So under suitable conditions, single compounds splits into multiple simpler substances. So decomposition reactions are what? Endothermic. Heat is absorbed. So decomposition reaction, we can say energy is required in the form of heat, light or electricity for breaking down the reactants. See here one endothermic reaction, barium hydroxide and ammonium chloride, when they react, the reaction is highly endothermic and the temperature falls down. Similarly, ammonium chloride, children, ammonium chloride, if you dissolve it in water, the aqueous ammonium chloride which is formed, there also energy is absorbed. So as I said, we need heat, light or electricity. Based on that, the decomposition reactions can be divided into three or four types. We can say thermal decomposition, electrolytic decomposition, photolytic decomposition, catalytic decomposition. So what are these? Thermal decomposition means a single reactant breaks down to give simpler products by heating. So here we can see that magnesium oxide, when I heat, I get magnesium and oxygen. Calcium carbonate, when it is heated, that is we call it as limestone. When it is heated, we get calcium oxide and carbon dioxide is released. Potassium chlorate, KClO3, when heated, KCl and oxygen is released. So this is a method to prepare oxygen in the lab by heating potassium chlorate. So let us do one activity. That is, we take 2 grams of ferrous sulfate, iron 2 sulfate crystals in a dry boiling tube. So iron 2 crystals are what? FeSO4.7H2, associated with 7 molecules of water of crystallization. So when we heat it, first it will convert into anhydrous ferrous sulfate and 7 water molecule will be out. And then this ferrous sulfate, on further heating, it gives ferric oxide, and the gases which are released are SO2 and SO3. So what is the observation? Green color of the ferrous sulfate changes to brown, and that is due to formation of ferric oxide, and we get a smell, that is the gases which are released have suffocating smell, pungent smell, we can say like burning sulfur. When we burst crackers, we get that smell. So that is due to the release of sulfur dioxide and sulfur trioxide. So another example of heating here, when we heat calcium carbonate, we get calcium oxide and carbon dioxide. So calcium oxide is, again we say, it is quicklime and it is used, it's very important component or constituent present in Portland cement. So very important reaction for industries. Okay, so next activity is again of thermal decomposition. That is where we take lead nitrate and we just a white powdery substance, we take it in a test tube, dry test tube or boiling tube, and we heat it over a flame. So what happens? A flickering sound is heard, tap tap sound is heard, and a brown colored gas is evolved, yellow residue is obtained. So yellow residue is actually of lead oxide, and the gas which is released is NO2, nitrogen dioxide, and lead-2 oxide is formed, and a colorless gas is also released, that is due to oxygen. So lead nitrate on heating, it gives lead oxide, nitrogen dioxide and oxygen. Next decomposition is decomposition by using electricity. So we call it as electrolysis. So we pass electric current and a chemical reaction happens, decomposition happens. For example, if you do electrolysis of water, it breaks into its constituents like H2 and O2. Similarly, molten sodium chloride, melted form of sodium chloride. When we pass electricity, we get sodium and chlorine. Molten aluminium oxide, when we pass electricity, aluminium and oxygen is released. So what is this electrolysis? As I said, it is by passing electricity, we break the compound. This happens in electrolytic cell. So what is this cell? Actually, what is a setup of electrolytic cell? A vessel will be there and it will have two electrodes. One is positive called anode and one is negative called cathode. So positive and negative electrodes are held apart and dipped into a solution containing positively and negatively charged ions. We call it as electrolytes. Electrolyte means through which electricity can be passed. And this is the setup of electrolysis. So original compound will break up into simple constituent molecules. So this process is used in electro refining and chloralkali process, which we have done already in second chapter. Okay, so let us see the activity 1.7 in NCERT textbook, where we are doing the electrolysis of water. So we take a plastic mug and two holes, we will drill it at its base and fit rubber stoppers in these holes. So insert carbon electrodes in these rubber stoppers, as we can see in the figure, and connect these electrodes to 6 voltage battery. Fill the mug with water such that electrodes are immersed. Add few drops of dilute sulfuric acid to the water and take two test tubes filled with water and invert them over the two carbon electrodes. Switch on the current and leave the apparatus undisturbed for some time. Once the test tubes are filled with respective gases, remove them carefully and we can test for the presence of the gases or to identify the gases. So here we have added sulfuric acid, dilute sulfuric acid. You know, water is a weak electrolyte. So to enhance its ionization so that it can form more ions, we add dilute sulfuric acid so that it can act as a better electrolyte. So we can say that acidulated water we take as electrolyte during electrolysis of water. So we observe some bubbles coming out, and we say that why this happens. H2O, when undergoes decomposition in presence of electricity, it releases H2 and O2. So hydrogen is released at cathode and oxygen is released at anode. So always cathode reduction reaction takes place. We'll be studying later on in the module what is reduction and oxidation, and oxygen will be undergoing oxidation and oxygen is released at anode. So we can say that always, children, in electrolysis, reduction takes place at cathode and oxidation takes place at anode. We can remember like this: anox, red cat, An anode, oxidation, red reduction, cat cathode. Okay, so hydrogen here released will be 2 times of oxygen released in the process, because water has 2 moles of hydrogen atoms and 1 mole of oxygen atom in its chemical formula. We can see that H2O. Okay, now next decomposition reaction, which takes place in presence of sunlight, very important, photolysis, photolytic decomposition. So where the molecules are broken down into smaller units through the absorption of light. Children, you know, ozone depletion. The ozone depletion happens because of some components like fluorochlorocarbons. We know that. So this ozone, in presence of these chlorofluorocarbons, which forms reactive species in presence of UV rays, and these reactive species will convert ozone into oxygen and nascent oxygen. So ozone to oxygen is highly feasible reaction. So depletion happens, which is again in presence of sunlight. So let us do one activity here, activity 1.8 of NCERT textbook. We have taken 2 grams of silver chloride and placed this in china dish in sunlight for some time. So what happens? Silver chloride turns gray. This you can do it in your lab, and then prepare AgCl. How you can prepare? You can add silver nitrate to any chloride salt, or ammonium chloride or sodium chloride, and we get silver chloride. And then we can keep this silver chloride in china dish in sunlight for some time. It turns gray in sunlight. So this is due to actually the decomposition of silver chloride into silver and chlorine, which happens in presence of sunlight. Similarly, silver bromide, you know, it is used in black and white photography. So AgBr breaks into Ag and Br2. So this is all about these 2 reactions. Let us summarize. We have done combination reactions, where we have seen that 2 or more reactants can combine to form a single product. And decomposition reaction is just reverse. Decomposition reaction, a single substance breaks into 2 or more components. So decomposition can be done in presence of electricity, in presence of heat, or in presence of light. Okay, combination reactions usually exothermic, and decomposition reactions are endothermic. Thank you.